we've known for 24 hours that an unregistered wizard set magical beasts loose in New York.
Yes. Where is this man?
So, you're the guy with the case full of monsters, huh?
Use Charles Frost.
Mrs. Miranda, do you know anything about the wizarding community in America? We don't let things loose.
Hey, Mr. English guy, I think your egg is hatching.
You wiped his memory, right? The nomad.
The what?
No magic. The non-wizard.
Sorry, we call them muggles.
I ain't got the brains to make this up.
Something is stalking our city, wreaking destruction, and then disappearing without a trace. Witches live among us.
I'm continuing my song from last week's movie spoiler. Well, I guess not last week, but this week's movie spoilers episode here. People talking about Fantastic Beasts and where to find them. Where to find them. The J.K. first time screenplay writing by David Yates, if I'm not mistaken, who did a couple of the, four of the Harry Potter, but he was also a producer on pretty much all of them, so we're coming back to that world of magics and wizards and humans and creature designs and a little bit of that there. Dumbledore, who I think is going to be the main protagonist of this series, but that's just me. So let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis. So you got Eddie Redmayne, who plays Newt, and he's taking a boat from good old jolly UK, coming over to America. I always mess up with what they call the humans. Is that Muggle? Is Muggles? I think it's Muggles, yeah. If Harry Potter fans correct me or not. And so Newt comes to America, and he's got a suitcase full of Fantastic Beasts. He don't need to know where to find them yet, because, well, they're all in this one location. And let's just say pretty much he's an animal saver. You know, he pretty much finds these beasts that the wizards don't understand. And he's kind of got, I don't want to say a lot of it, but you can sense some hints of prejudice towards his fellow magicians and wizards, because he believes that these animals are out to, well, at least he believes that these other wizards believe that these animals are dangerous and they need to be put down, and they're just there to hurt muggles and stuff like that. And his thing was like, they're just misunderstood and they don't get it. So, you know, kind of a little bit of discrimination there, especially when it comes to our local zoos right about now. Oh, put that animal down. He needs to be put down. So it's kind of a little bit of a message in there, Harambe. And he runs into, one of his creatures gets out because this creature, I don't know what the hell is, what it looked like, a platypus, I think. Which had like a klepto problem, like it was just stealing shit left and right, which I think was probably the highlight of the beast, because this thing kept getting, well, it got out twice, and it just kept stealing shit, and it had like this little kangaroo pouch that was stuff in. So when they're in the bank and he's shaking them out and all this gold and stuff's coming out, I'm like, god damn, that motherfucker's a thief, like a motherfucker. He likes shiny things apparently. But he gets out, and this is where we're introduced to, oh my god, what was that girl's name? Catherine Waterston, who plays Tina in here. Got it, alright. And she's kind of noticing that, hey, what's going on with this guy here? I'm seeing some magic involved here. And also we're introducing to Dan Fogler's character, who plays Kowalski, who's at the bank as well, and he's trying to get a loan for his bakery, only to kind of get caught up into Eddie Redmayne stuff when he sees Eddie Redmayne left an egg sitting on the bench here. We're also introduced to another character in here, and I don't know the actress's name. I do. It was Jen Murray, who plays Chastity in here, and she kind of I think that was her. Oh man, I'm blanking on the name. But there was this pretty much this anti witch hater here, where she was just like, witches are among us, you know, because this takes place like in the 1920s, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, they had to have that witch guard. Her son is played by what's that boy's name? The Flash, Ezra Miller here, who plays Credence Barebone, and they also have a daughter who played Faith Wood, Blakerov, I believe, who plays Modesty in here. And they pretty much all meet in this one area here. And so the egg starts to hatch, and then, you know, next thing you know, he says, hey, you see the trailer, hey, mister, you know, your egg's hatching. He uses his magic, they teleport on the other side. Next thing you know, bam, Dan Fogler's in this world now. Only for him to escape, because he's like, you're fucking crazy, I gotta get out of here. And Tina here, she kind of takes, this is where she runs at Eddie Redmayne, she takes him in, she's like, I gotta take you down to Section 8-8 or whatever it was called, because, you know, you've brought some beast and released them upon the humans to see and stuff like that. Only to find out that, you know, Colin Farrell's in charge, well, not really in charge, but he's kind of like their right-hand man. There's another chick in charge, I don't even know that actress's name, but they pretty much got like some whole wizarding thing going. I thought this scene was cool too, because they had a door on the side that were, it looked like a regular bank on the side. But then when they walked through this door, the wizards and stuff, it became a whole nother damn building and shit like that. Like, Harry Potter's always done some cool stuff like that, and it's nice to see that they continued that through here. So she takes him in, and only to her to find out that, like, oh, she's really been demoted, because, you know, she kind of fucked up when it came to Credence and all them stuff, because there's a little side story with that as well. And basically, Dan Fogler's character and Eddie Redmayne's character, their briefcases got switched, and Dan Fogler releases these beasts, at least a few of them, not all of them, he releases these beasts into the world, and it's up to Eddie Redmayne to find them and put them back in the briefcase before they get harmed. And I love it, because he even has a line here where he's just like, yeah, they wouldn't harm anything, whatever, it's you guys or whatever. So then next thing you know, once he finds these, it's also another mystery in here where I forgot the name of the damn thing that it was called now. Jesus fucking Christ. But apparently it's like this dark spirit kind of in a way that takes over a body and a host. And it kind of makes them lose control, if you will, as far as when it comes to wizards. Maybe it can attack humans as well, too. It didn't really... say it couldn't, because I know there's a scene in here where Dan Fogler's inside the briefcase, and Eddie Redmayne's character has one of the things is stored away in his briefcase. So they didn't really say that it couldn't, but I guess I'm assuming it'd just be more powerful attached to a wizard. And that plays a part in here as well, too, and there goes your plot line. Alright, so let me tell you what I liked about the movie. Because I'm about, maybe about 80-20. In the positive realm here, as far as writing goes, you can't knock J.K. Simmons. I mean, the woman is just a world-building machine. She knows how to build a world, and she just knows how to get it out there and let you know that, you know, this is, you know, a Harry Potter film. This is something very different, and even though you can still tell, because there's, I gotta say, I was pretty shocked by this. There's not a lot of fan service. If there is, I didn't probably catch it then. I'm not the biggest Harry Potter fan or whatever. I love the movies, but I'm not a diehard fan like some of them are, where, you know, they read the books and done everything like that and know everything outside the lore and all that. I will say, though, that, you know, this is up there with, like, and I'm talking about the Harry Potter series in general, with, like, The Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, you know, the usual. And I gotta say, out of all those franchises that are there, Harry Potter is definitely my favorite. I think Harry Potter, for having 8 films that are all just that damn good, it's really fucking incredible. And when you get to this film, it's even more incredible that we're really go back to that world and show even some new stuff. What I love about this film in Dightly is definitely the creatures. The creatures are fucking cool. Like that bird that you see in I think it's in the trailer, but the bird that he has in his briefcase, that bird was badass. I wanted to ride that thing and just be like, you got the touch, yeah, you got the power. And meanwhile, I'm telling them to attack people from the sky and shit like that, just nosedive their asses. But another thing I liked Eddie Redmayne's character. You know what, it took me a while to grow on it, because I just saw the movie like literally about 2.5 hours ago, and I think that if I didn't see the latest screener possible, if I would have just saw it yesterday when we had the screener, maybe I would have gave it a day before I would have did the review, but I kind of got to do this now just to get it up by, I think I'm going to put it up Saturday. Got to do it up now. So I haven't really let it sit in my head what I think, but Eddie Redmayne, I've been thinking about him the most, and where I didn't really think much of his character while watching the movie, when it ended, I started to think about it more, and I said, you know what? He might be my favorite character in the film. He might be. I'm thinking about it because I like the subtle little hints of him in the film. What I like about him being new is he almost has like an autism in a way where he's kind of, I mean, we made fun of him in the trailer, but it's kind of evident in this film that he just doesn't like really human beings, to be honest. He doesn't like wizards or any of that stuff, to be honest. I mean, he's not like an extremist or anything like that, but it felt like J.K. Rowling, she dropped some hints in there as far as his way of animals and his way towards wizards or humans or whatever the hell you want to call all of them connected as one. Because he'll look at them and say, you know, the beasts aren't the problem. It's you people, you know. And it's funny because he's having a conversation with Tina in here. And I can't remember the exact exchange of dialogue they had. But she was talking about something when she first took him in. And she's like, you know, she said something where, and he was just like, oh, he's like, if it's such a, you know, a great world of to live in America, which, by the way, his only reason to come to America was so he could drop off the bird in Arizona. And there's obviously some other reasons in there as well, too. But mainly that was one of the main reasons why he really did care for these animals, or these Pokemon creatures, as I like to call them. But he's having this conversation with Tina. He told her, he's like, you know what? He said, the problem aren't with beasts, it's with you people. He says, you're allowed to, you have to wipe humans' minds clean when you, I think they call them obliterate. You got to obliterate human minds when they see a little bit of magic or something like that. If you're a wizard, you can't date a muggle or anything like that, or you can't. Yeah. He's like, he's pretty much, you got all these rules and laws, whatever, to where it holds you back and stuff. And he was like, these animals aren't the problems. It's more of you humans and wizards and stuff like that. So there's definitely a touch like in that line. I know I just fucked that all up. It probably said it much better. But there's lines like that in the film of his character where it kind of shows you, all right, this guy, he doesn't give a fuck about these human beings. Only to find out he had some kind of a tragic past that happened to him when it came to humans. And not only that, most of these animals he caught or freed, he literally freed them from being, you know, harmed and stuff like that. So I guess he's one of those characters that, I'm not going to say he only sees the worst in people, because clearly he's made friends here with Tina, Dan Fogler's character, and Tina's sister, who later comes into the film, which I don't even know who that's played by, but she's fine as hell. And she ends up taking a liking to Dan Fogler's character. And I guess as far as like, that could probably be everyone's favorite characters because they're the funny ones and they have these great scenes together and stuff like that. So I can see these two being kind of the standout characters, or at least the good side, if you will, more so than Eddie Redmayne and Tina. Because I gotta say, Tina, the first half of this movie, she's kind of fucking annoying. I mean, she's got on my nerves, whatever. She's just trying so hard to get back with the group she was with, the working and stuff, that she seems to do kind of some stupid shit in here. And then, you know, when she realized, oh, they're pretty much going to obsolete her ass, that's when she finally hops on board with everything. I was kind of cool when that kicked in, but at the beginning, she was kind of getting on my nerves. Some other positives, too, in here. The cinematography, I think it looked great. I loved a lot of the animal scenes in here. I think Eddie Redmayne and Dan Fogler had some great chemistry together. The acting in here is fine. I would even say Ezra Miller, who played Credence in here, man, he had this creepy fucking element to him where you just looking at him as like, is that all you gonna do? And I'm talking about this kid throughout the whole movie too. He's like physically and mentally abused in this damn film. People call him freak nonstop because, you know, obviously his family, or his mother at least, she adopts these kids and then brainwashed them into believing like witches and shit like that exists. And the whole time, Colin Farrell, we kind of see that he's playing the double agent here, And but you don't really get a lot of Colin Farrell too, and that's probably one of my problems too, is he's not really in the film doing a lot or doing anything really, to be honest. Even though like the trailers kind of set him up to be the big baddie, and there's a twist at the end where you just like, oh, okay, I guess he kind of is the big baddie. But he's constantly seeing Ezra Miller's character in here, and he's talking about bring me the child, you know, the one who's clearly controlling this creature, this spirit that I was just talking about, the giant dust cloud of Galactus, if you will, the Tasmanian devil, or whatever the hell you want to call this thing that just seems to be swarping as soon. And I love, too, because people die in this fucking film, and it's kind of hilarious. One of the guys was, he worked for a newspaper in here, and his son was running for Secretary of the State, if I'm not mistaken. It was something like that. I can't remember what his position, what he was running for. And he was one of the first ones to call Ezra Miller's killer character a freak. The hell up out of here. Go back to your freak land or something like that. Well, that motherfucker died at the end of this. Well, not even at the end. Somewhere toward the middle. And, you know, that's when the humans found out. It was like, oh, my God. There's some magic shit going on right here. We need to stop this at all hands and stuff. Because this creature, it killed him in the most brutal-ass way. They put his ass up on the wall, twisted him inside out, turned him upside down, then just dropped his ass. I was like, damn. And then he had a fucking blue waffle on his face and shit like that. His face was all scarred up and stuff. Like, I was like, wow, so that motherfucker's dead. Okay. Okay. He's definitely dead. I feel like that guy's brother, too. He had, like, a scene in this film. At least two scenes. And there's a scene where the camera kind of lingers on him. Even though they kind of wipe people's memory at the end, I feel like he's going to be a returning character. I got to get in my negatives now, because my positives seem to have some negatives in there. The first one I already talked about, Colin Farrell. He doesn't really seem to be doing anything in here. I mean, I don't even know why they got Colin Farrell for this. I mean, I ain't like Colin Farrell, you know, the greatest actors of actors or anything like that. But I think Colin Farrell is a good actor. He just seems to pick bad scripts. Not to say that this is a bad script or anything like that. It's just, there's really nothing for him to absolutely do in this film except turn his back on the wizardry. And even when that gets revealed, it's kind of like, ta-da, you know? Because it comes into the third act, which the third act is probably my biggest problem of the film. One problem I do have, too, with the film as well is, and you know what? This ain't nearly a problem, neither. This is more so on me, because I get it from a filmmaker standpoint why you have to do that. You just can't do what I want you to do, because it just wouldn't make sense. And basically what that is this film does a lot of world building. It does a lot, it has a lot of setup. It's a lot of hints and stuff like that of what the future could be. Now, when I say what I want it to be, is I guess because I've seen 8 of these movies already. And even though this is in a different time span, in a different world, it still has that mythology to attach to it. So I guess in my standpoint, I was just hoping to just get dropped and we just go in the world. I think the movie does a lot of time spending on its world, which it should. It's not a negative, to be honest. But I also felt like the movie had a lot of premise and setup for what the future film code. I can tell you this right now. I'm really excited for the future films to see where this go, because this movie does a lot of groundwork, kind of like the first and second Harry Potter films, which weren't really that great in my opinion. They were okay, but there was really nothing spectacular about them. Like the other, was it 6 that came out after that? And I feel like this one is kind of following in the same vein, where you get the first film. I think once you get this film out of the way, now that we have the setup, it's kind of like Star Wars Force Awakens in a way. It's like, yeah, I see what you're doing here. I wish you kind of would have went this route just to be, you know, just to go ahead and let's go for it. But I know why you have to do this. You can't just drop people off in a world like this and to say, hey, the last Harry Potter film made over a fucking $1 billion. If you don't know this world, then that's your fault and stuff like that. I get it. You have to set these people up, because there could be people out there that don't like Harry Potter and actually look interested in seeing this film instead. It could be just Eddie Redmayne. So I get that point of view right there. So it's not really a problem. It's more of a nitpick, I guess, in the where I would have liked it to gone and where it jumped off. Because I do most of this film, at least in the beginning half of it, and towards even the middle, actually all of it, it really seems like it's kind of more set up for future films. Another problem I have is the whole third act, pretty much. This whole creature, I wish I could remember the fucking name of it, because they bring it up a couple of times as well, too. And I remember I kept repeating it in theater, and it was just like, I'm going to try to remember that name. But no, I didn't, so fuck me, I guess. It's just a giant dust cloud. It's just a giant dust cloud. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if some people say I didn't know what the fuck was going on, because there's a lot of teleporting and just motherfuckers with this cloud following it. It's basically if Galactus would have landed on Earth and just attacked the Fantastic Four instead of just staying on space to get blown up by Silver Surfer. That's kind of what it is here. And he's just like, oh, this isn't really a good action scene. I do like what Ezra Miller's line when he's get revealed to be the host for this thing. And he tells him, you know, most of my life I've tried to control this, but what if I don't want to control it anymore and stuff? And he starts to let that shit go, and his face starts to his eyes start to turn all white and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh shit, he's unleashing hell on here and stuff like that on Colin Farrell. Because Colin Farrell wants to control it. He wants to take over because he believes, and he has a great line at the end too, where he's just like, you know, he's like, we need to be afraid of the humans. No, they need to be afraid of us. You know, it's basically one of those things, like, why are we hiding from them? They should be hiding from us. We're the dominant species. Some X-Men shit going on here, basically. It's some Magneto Xavier shit right here. And I do like that line. Colin Farrell delivered the fuck out of it, and it was really good. But this it just kind of became this action fest galore, to be honest. And I wasn't a fan of it. And in fact, I didn't really like any of the action at that third act. I was just like, yeah, I did like the moments where Credence was stopping and, you know, the Eddie Redmayne character and them were having conversations about it. But then they flat up, when they were finally getting to him and hoping that he could break free of this thing, these wizards show up and they just murder his ass. I was like, holy shit, they killed him. I was like, damn. I was like, these wizards don't give a fuck. they don't care. It's like, oh, if you leak exposure on us, we'll blow your ass up. That's basically what they did. They blew his ass up, and they just, like, arrest Colin Farrell's character. And this is where another part of the film came, and I was kind of like, oh. I said, is that who I think it is? I think, oh, my God, it is. And sure enough, so they arrest Colin Farrell with the help of Eddie Redmayne's character. And slowly, Eddie Redmayne, I saw him doing something with his wand. I can't remember if he was saying anything or whatever, but he was putting a spell on it where it kind of subdued Colin Farrell's character into where his hair started to change colors. It was turning a little bit of white, if you catch my drift. You feel what I'm saying in here? It started turning a little white. And then next thing you know it, he was revealed to be Johnny Depp. And everybody knows Johnny Depp is playing Grindelwald. And he even says it himself and stuff like that. And I saw that and was just like, I didn't like that change up right there. I was just like, that was okay. Why you had to be Colin Farrell going? But I will say this, though. As much as I didn't really care for the switcheroo there and stuff, I will say, it does got me looking forward to see future films, because something about this film is it doesn't feel like the other Harry Potter films where you got your cast members here, your protagonists, they're going to be the people you're following. This film made it seem to believe that you're just following through the eyes of Eddie Redmayne to open this world up. There's going to be a different main character in the next film because these characters split apart. I don't know where Eddie Redmayne's character goes at the end, because he hops back on a boat. And whether he goes back to England or wherever he's going. But they split the protagonists up here, basically. They told them they need to clear Fogler's mind. They said no human can be allowed to see what he see. We're going to clear. They used the bird because he could control the weather. They made him use the rain and put a spell on it so he could make everyone in the city fucking forget the city, what happened, what they saw. And plus they just rebuilt the buildings back and stuff like that. I was going to say that was kind of a cop-out if you could do that, but they kind of did that throughout the film. So I don't think there was a cop-out. I think I was cool with that, actually. And so they make everyone forget, and they make him forget, but then, you know, they kind of help this Fogler's get a bakery, and what's her name's sister, she ends up coming back to him, and they kind of have this moment of reflection. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I mean, this might be something for us too, because probably definitely. But I think, I don't know what it is, but I think some reason the Eddie Redmayne story is over. I'm almost saying that he might not be the protagonist. I think this movie is going to be setting up Grindelwald. And I think, personally, it's going to be setting up Dumbledore as well, because they've already announced that Dumbledore is going to be in the next films. So I'm assuming that these movies are going to be following a young Dumbledore and his battle against Grindelwald. That's just me when I'm thinking here, but I could be dead wrong. There was also some hints in here, too, who I didn't know who was playing that, but there's a Lestrange knock in here or whatever. And I'm looked it up right now, and Zoe Kravitz played Lestrange in here. Bellatrix Lestrange, if you may will. No, but she's not playing that character. Probably like her mother or something like that, or probably her fucking grandma, actually, at this time. I forget how many fucking years this takes place. You got Ron Perlman in here, and he plays Narlak, and he's like easy, the most spottable character of all, because, well, that damn troll looked like goddamn Ron Perlman. And plus, he sounds like him. As soon as he opened his mouth, I was just like, yeah, that sounds like Ron Perlman. I didn't even know he was going to be in this film, to be honest. So I guess those are mainly my negatives in there. I got to say, too, the characters, they're really thin. As far as the protagonists involved, they're really thin. You kind of can catch them from a mile. But I think that you'll get the charm with Dan Fogler's character. And I wish I could remember the damn girl's sister's name. But I really don't. But I think those two, they might stand out because they're fun, quirky, and stuff like that. And they got a certain charm about them. I think, personally, for me, though, Eddie Redmayne was the best just because of the little subtle hints that he dropped. Especially seeing that he may have an autism, so that's why he really isn't. I didn't think it was really autism. I just don't think he just don't trust people in some parts, sometimes, whatever. But it doesn't really fully go through with it if he did. So, enough, though, I enjoyed the film. Even with the negatives I had in here and stuff, I still think it's an enjoyable film. Hell, I think the Harry Potter fans are going to absolutely love this film. There's some great things done in here, and there's some things I would love to see more done of in this film, because I'm not patient, and I don't feel like waiting fucking 2 years to get the next film to see what it's going to do with this, because I got to tell you, just like Force Awakens did the same thing where I had my same problems, you know, it's like, I don't like that it was fucking the New Hope, basically. Anybody that says that, you're kind of fucking, it says it's not, then you're kind of fucking retarded if you can't see that. I mean, it's like blatantly A New Hope. So, and I think my problem kind of stimulates here, but I will say that Force Awakens and this one, they still both got me hyped up for the next film. So I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to see where they go next now, you know. I'm willing to fall. And plus, I want to see what they do with the characters here because they all went their separate ways. So I'm curious to see, are we even going to be following Eddie Redmayne's character next film? Or are we just going to throw in Dumbledore and we're going to go his route? Maybe I'm looking too into this. I don't normally do those things, but I kind of saw a lot of hints thrusting us that way. But that's just me. Not for enough, though, I enjoyed the film. That's a good time. The actors in here, even if they are thin, they all have a charm to them. There's some great scenes in here with some of the beasts and the chase scenes, whatever. I think those were a little bit more, even those were a lot more interesting than the third act it was. But enough. I think even with the third act, which I thought was the weakest part of the film, there's a lot of stuff in here I think you could enjoy. So with that said, I'm going to give this a low C it. Now, I know this movie's going to be number one. They're expecting 75 opening weekend. I'm going 90. 90, 95, whatever. I'll say 90. Yeah, I'm going to go 85 to 90 or whatever. So I know a lot of people, you're going to go see this film. So I want to know, what did you think of this film? I want people to go see this film because I think it is a good time, especially if you're a huge Harry Potter fan. I think you're going to get some great side notes from that Harry Potter lore that you'll be like, ooh, you know. So with that said, like I said, I give it a low C, and I want to know your thoughts and opinions. Put it in the comment section below this review, and then let me know to what you thought of The Fantastic Beast and Where to Find Them.
We've lived in the shadows for too long. Yes, Golden.
Danger. He senses danger.
This is related to Grindelwald's attacks in Europe. This could mean more.
We got a plan, right, Ben? They need our help.
Was that everything that came out of the case?